super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Okay, we're back to the real grindhouse thing here. I apologize for last week, but my fucking throat was destroyed. I could hardly even take a fucking bong hit, much less do a fucking hour show, so I apologize for that. But this week, I got a DVD in the mail. It's called Land of the Deadites. It's a fan documentary, and if you're an Evil Dead fan, like Todd and I, both are huge Evil Dead marks, you're going to love this thing because it covers every aspect of the film, you know, the comics, the music, how it's transcended today. And we actually have the brains behind Land of the Deadites. Welcome to the show, Shane Brown.
Well, hey, I want to say, Pete, I'm half the brains behind it. My ex-girlfriend, Jenny Allen, she also helped me out. You know,
so, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I definitely want to bring her up. She did the cover artwork and all that, so... I just felt like it was something that needed to be documented.
Yeah, there is a huge, huge fan following worldwide for that film, and you know, it's spawned two sequels. It's become a musical. It's become a comic book. It's just become just about, you know, an all encompassing American horror film.
Yeah, and to me, the property itself. It's a character in that film. The way Sam Raimi filmed it, it's a character to itself. Tony Timpone doesn't agree with me on that, but, I mean, to me, it's not just a patch of woods. That's actually a character from that film.
Yeah, it's true. That, you know, that whole film has just so much personality to it, too, you know?
I love it.
What made you decide to make a documentary about it?
Man, I've always been a fan of the films. Ever since I read Joe Bob Briggs's book. I'm
profoundly disturbing.
I'm nervous, guys. I'm sorry here.
Profoundly disturbing?
No. Before that, way before that.
Oh.
I think it's The Drive-In.
Oh, yeah, okay, The Drive-In. I don't remember the exact title of it, but it was the thing about the drive-in films.
Yeah, he made two of those, like, you know, Two Nights at the Drive-In or something with Joe Bob Briggs. So I remember reading about the films long before I saw them. And I don't know, it was just a pleasure to have Joe Bob do the narrative for me, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Joe Bob's a good guy. I met him. Actually, I just ran into him at Horror Realm in Pittsburgh last September.
Oh, cool.
He was one of the guests there, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just a horror geek like you guys, man. I'm just a horror geek and a music geek, and those movies just really had an impact on me as a child.
So you never got to see it in a movie theater, I guess, right?
Oh, no, by no means. VHS.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was on the old. I first had it on VHS. It was in a Amaray clamshell hard box.
Yeah, that HBO video.
Yeah, they put it out. What I remember when they put it out, and that had to be what was it? You remember the release date on that, Todd? It had to be early '80s.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember the exact release. Are you talking about in theaters? Or are you talking?
Yeah,
about...
theaters.
I think it was '83.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I think I was married then, and my old lady wasn't into this shit, so it was like sort of sneak out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like,
but Joe Bob Briggs, I think he was the first one to get those films put on cable. You know, they were cable.
Yeah, he had a huge influence on that, you know, as far as putting things over. He was like one of the bigger voices back then.
Actually, it was '81, and it hit theaters here, like right in that... late winter, early spring of '82. So it was actually done and released starting in '81.
Yeah, I remember seeing it was warmer weather in '82. I didn't see it on the Deuce. I saw it on a highway theater.
Wow.
I remember because even in your documentary, you're doing an interview with Greg Lambertson, and he said he was working in, I believe it was the RKO Twin on Broadway, was it? Correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. And he said it was running there, like in a main showing. So, you know, probably after its first run, it probably wound up somewhere on 42nd Street. It would have been inevitable anyway. But, you know, anything that ran a Times Square area was cool.
The movie definitely stands the test of time, and I think fans have shown that with how much it's influenced music and just everything. You know, it's an amazing film. It really is. All three of the films. Really, I'm not the biggest Army of Darkness fan. I mean, I remember feeling let down when I saw that in the theaters.
Actually, I did too.
But I mean, compared to what's out now. It's a good film. It really is.
Yeah,
that's true.
You got quite a few other people involved sharing some thoughts on that. Lloyd Kaufman from Trauma, who I think he actually had a chance to release it and passed for some reason. I remember hearing something about that.
Lloyd, I guess he didn't pick up distribution of it for some reason. But he talks about that in the film. And I've got a funny story about Lloyd. I've got such a strong southern accent. He always thought I was saying the title as Land of the Dead Eyes rather than Dead Eyes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So Lloyd would give me shit about that every time I saw him.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't use it and put out a movie called Land of the Dead Eyes.
Yeah, Go ahead, Pete. I'm sorry.
No, I go back with Lloyd many years. I have run to him from convention to convention and a couple other things. He's always been cool.
Hey, we played baseball with Lloyd. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did. We played titty baseball with Lloyd at Wasteland.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lloyd's he's an amazing guy, man. He's always willing to help out, you know, aspiring filmmakers, no doubt.
Yeah, and you also had Jason Mewes. I don't even know what the hell he was doing there. It didn't seem like he knew what he was doing there.
He seems to be a fan of Army of Darkness. We just threw him in for the hell of it. I mean, those guys are big comic book fans. Most people that like the Evil Dead are comic book fans. I mean, Sam Raimi did Spider-Man, you know, so.
That's awesome, yeah.
And of course, Tony Timpone, who I don't know who's to me, his fucking opinion's useless. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Tony was nice enough to do an interview. I'll give him that. But I don't agree with him on the property. He feels like, you know, it's just a patch of woods. I disagree with him. As soon as you step foot on that property, you know where you are. You know, I mean, from the films.
Yeah.
And I think it should be preserved, but sadly, you know, I live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and a lot of people see, you know, this kind of stuff as satanic for whatever reason. And the property owners, they won't sell out, and they're hanging on to it, you know, real tight. It's just, it's a sad case, really. There's money to be made there. They could have conventions there. They could be whatever there, but... They think it's satanic for whatever reason, and they don't want to pump any money into it. And sooner or later, it will sell, and I'd say there'll be a home built on that property.
Oh, fuck, how much do they want for it? I'll buy the damn thing.
Dude, I was interested in it. They won't sell.
They
will not sell. No, they will not sell, Pete.
Shit. Meanwhile, people are stealing bricks and all kinds of other shit off the damn thing and taking it home with them. There ain't gonna be nothing left.
Yeah, that's what's sad about it. I mean, it's going to be cleared one day, and I'd say there'll be a home built on it. But granted, some of the fans don't know how to conduct themselves. You know, they'll show up and park in people's driveways before they walk over into the woods. But it could be made into some type of a park. I think. You know, I mean, I would love to see that done, but. The owners won't budge, and it is private property. You know, and I want to warn anybody, you know, that sees this film, not to just go prancing up on it because you could be looking at trespassing charges. You know,
it's funny because I know I'm helping the Night of the Living Dead people with that Save the Chapel deal because the first thing you see when they pull into the graveyard is that chapel, and they were going to let it get knocked down and. Gary Striner, Russ's brother, has, been put the Save the Chapel group together on Facebook, and we did an auction at Wasteland. We got a nice hunk of change for him. We've been, you know, trying to help him out ever since. So that's another, you know, suggestion of how to save a landmark. But like you said, if the people don't want to budge, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, it's a sad thing. It's a very American thing to want to pave over our history.
Yeah.
And I think we need to start taking a look at that, really. We do, because you don't see that in other countries as much. But we do it. You know, every 25, 30 years, we have to have something new, and we pave over our own culture. I mean, you're starting to see some of it being preserved with, like, drive-in theaters, but it's a sad thing, in my opinion. And all that's left for us is shows like this and conventions, and which is a beautiful thing, but I don't know. We're not the mainstream. You know, most people don't mind seeing things paved over, but it really upsets me.
Oh yeah, me too. That's another reason after what happened in New York and seeing all that go to shit, and basically the only couple spots that, you know, are still left are down on the Lower East Side and on 9th Avenue right behind Port Authority, but it's only a matter of time before, you know, somebody gets to them too. I want to see them kick the Hell's Angels out of their clubhouse. That would be fucking funny. They're down on, I think, 4th Street or something like that. Yeah, because, you know, the other thing too is, remember CBGB's over there?
Yeah, that disgusts me, man. CBGB's is no longer there. I mean, Joey Ramone Avenue, isn't it Joey Ramone Avenue?
Yeah, they named one, I think, Boulevard or something up by St. Mark's Place.
And then the club isn't even there. It's like a fashion boutique now, where they sell leather pants for like $300 a pop. You know, it's so sad, man.
Well, you know, these guys now arrive all on the Lower East Side, and that's where the Angels Clubhouse is. That's where, I don't know if Variety Photo Plays is still standing. It was there a couple of years ago, but I don't think so anymore. That's where they shot a lot of Taxi Driver down there too.
Oh, cool. So,
but that's going to be the next one to hit the wrecking ball. And you gave me one of these to give away, so what we're going to do is, even though this is tape, nobody's going to hear it until Saturday night, the first guy who emails me at 40deuce, spelled out, at hotmail.com, gets a copy of Land of the Deadites, courtesy of Shane here. So again, 40deuce at hotmail.com, and first email I get, and I'll know by the time next week, because I'm not going to fucking check it till Sunday, you get a free copy of this. I'll even pay the postage to show you what a fucking wonderful guy I am.
Well, I have to commend Shane, because he sent us some copies a long time ago, and we used them for giveaways and stuff. I gave Griff a copy, and we did a lot of stuff with those here at the station for Night Watch, and people have given me amazing feedback. We play his commercial. I made him a commercial, and we play that during rotation. As a matter of fact, we'll probably play it right during this show, because Shane's on here, so I'll let him know. You know, we've been playing it through heavy rotation. I get a lot of good words. I don't know if it's translating to dollars for you, but we've definitely got a lot of good feedback on it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Todd. I thought it was going to be on Griff's show on More Horror Than Horror, and there was confusion there. I didn't think it ever made it to air, but I'm more than happy to support you guys any way I can, whenever I can. I love what you guys do. I really do.
Oh yeah, we've had it playing for months now. It's been it's in rotation on the normal station, and it's also been on Night Watch, and just whenever
okay,
we
cool,
you
man.
Know,
I appreciate that.
It's funny. Yep, you've been on there.
You know what? You
I
know
mean,
what
mostly, I have to admit, mostly what I listen to is Pete and More Horror Than Horror, and every once in a while, Night Watch, and that's about it. And sometimes I'll go a couple months, and then I'll catch up on shows, but. I mean, I do love the format, everything. It's just a great radio station, guys.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, thank you. You know what I'll try to do for you? I'll lend Ken my copy, and if he likes it, maybe he'll show it at the next Wasteland in October.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome, guys.
If you want, you know, a world premiere, you know, what the fuck, it, you know, it'll probably get you a weekend pass, nothing more than that, but what the fuck, you know?
Man, I've been meaning to make it out to Wasteland. Money's just been way too tight here lately, but I mean, I definitely want to go one day. I mean, I definitely want to make it out.
Yeah, it's always a good show. We're just coming off one, actually. That's probably why I call it the convention cooties. What happened to my fucking throat and shit? Because you get hugged by a million people, then after the fact, because when you start to sober up, you're like, you know, I really should burn my clothes before I go in the house.
Mine's just from smoking too much.
Yeah, we just have this whole, you know, it's, you know, we're just one big happy dysfunctional family over there hugging and slobbering all over each other for three fucking days. So
you're going to have Ken on after me, right?
Yeah, he's going to come on. We got to talk about a few things.
So I'm not the only drunk guy on air tonight, huh?
No, he's been primed up since this afternoon. I already talked to him. Yeah. We're famous for drunken stupidity. That's why you'll love Wasteland. There's tons of drunken stupidity.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. I mean, just never have had a chance with money. I mean, it's quite a drive,
Yeah, it's about 8 hours from where you are, right?
Yeah, I'm right here in Tennessee, man, but I definitely want to make it out because I've heard so much, you know, good reviews from you guys and other people too. You know, that Wasteland is a place to be. It really is.
Yeah, I might take a ride down to there's. I don't know if Ken you know wants me to tag along because I'm doing Motor City Nightmares, which we're going to talk about tonight, because I'm going tagging along with him and sitting at his table and just you know hang the fuck out. I'm not going to make any money or anything, but you know what the hell, someplace I've never been. But I'm thinking of maybe
that's the thing. It's hard to make money. I'm sorry, Pete. Go ahead.
No, there's one down by you in Kentucky, I think, too.
Cool.
Frightmare
Screamfest or what?
I don't know. I don't know. There's so many different names. A couple of people were running my name by the promoters to see if we can do anything. So we'll see.
But the sad thing is, it's so hard to sell DVDs right now, man. DVDs are almost obsolete. Besides the stuff that we're buying, it's limited edition, I don't know. I was amazed when Todd said Joysticks was going for $40 already. You know, that I've got that in my collection. I got it for like $10 just about 5 or 6 months ago, and it's already going for $40.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I can't blame them for putting out a limited edition because there's only so much of, you know, so many of us that are going to buy it.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, I've been stocking up, you know, just finding deals on the net with like some of the Midnight Marquee stuff, Midnight Media, the MGM stuff and things, just to, I don't know, I'm just stocking up on them because, you know, when they're gone, they're gone. Nobody's going to put them back out again.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they've just about killed us for mainstream and shit. But, you know, you go to those, I don't know, do you have those Walmarts down there with them fucking dump bins full of shit?
Yeah, the $5 bins and stuff.
There's some good shit in there.
Blood Diner.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Huh.
Beautiful, wow. Uncut print. I couldn't believe. I was like, I wish it would have got its own release, but at least it's decent on there. I mean, they did a decent job. It's not too much, you know. Some of those are really compressed a lot when you got 8 movie packs and all that. Luckily, it's on a 6 movie pack, and it's not as compressed, so that was kind of good.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I got yelled at for dumping the shit on the floor, but they packed it too tight. So.
Well, you guys have made me realize how much, you know, we're going to lose movies because of a lot of this. And that's what I love with what you're doing with Lunchbox, Lunch Meat, and, you know, and that Lunch Meat Theater and all that. That's amazing stuff because there's certain movies that are never even going to make it to DVD. And they need to be preserved, no doubt. I mean, we're losing movies.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible. And there's also, you know, certain stuff that, you know, hasn't even never resurfaced since the VHS days.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm always looking for stuff. I mean, I'm sitting on a couple prints, and I can't say what they are because I want to tip my hand, but I basically have two things that have never seen. Well, one has seen a VHS release, but the other one has never, ever seen a VHS or DVD release. So.
Wow,
there's two. You know, whether I can sell them or not is another different fucking story, of course. But yeah, that's the way that is. That's another problem too, because I've been going around and around with this with my people with what I do and stuff like that about, you know, torrent sites and getting ripped off and shit. And it's like, you know, is it worth doing anything anymore? That's another problem.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's sad that really that affects the independent people more than it does the big box office people, I think. And you need to get out and support good music, good movies when you can. I mean, everybody's on a budget, but I try to do it when I can. You know, I mean, I'm broke. I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, but I still try to fund money to things that I think are good art. No doubt.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We try to keep this stuff alive, too. You know, but like I say, the proliferation of thieves out there and shit's fucking it up for everybody. And then they got these guys that are screaming about internet censorship and stuff like that. That's a fucking smokescreen for the fact that you guys are downloading all our shit. So shut the fuck up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
reasonably, and, you know, the killing part is everybody really knows that it's not expensive to make press a DVD. It's expensive to put together the elements that comprise the DVD. But as far as punching them out, I'm of that theory. Well, you know, if you made everything $9.95 or, you know, $14.95, everything would fucking sell. You know?
Yeah.
Nice package and shit. And it can be done. You'd sell a lot more and make money. But, you know, we both know that certain films are only going to have a limited audience. Maybe that's just us. So.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But I mean, you guys have made me see the light on that. Even that you know, I don't know. It's just sad to me that we're losing history here. You know, we're losing history. There needs to be. There is a VHS preservation society I've seen online that you know will dub over from VHS to DVD-R. And I think that's a great thing because you're getting movies that you can't get anywhere else, and it's because you know. For whatever reason, the studios don't feel it's you know money. You know the money's not there to put it over on DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, see that's a different case
than what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, that I don't have a problem with because if the thing isn't available and is not never going to become available, you know, I ain't got a problem with somebody you know downloading or taking it on VHS. The problem I have is you know when the shit's readily available, they just rip it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and not that my stuff is like Gone with the Wind or anything by any stretch of the imagination, but fuck, you know.
But you pump money into it to make it, and you deserve something back at least to break even.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not, like I said, I was never you know going out to get you know into this to get rich. I just like putting the stuff out, you know, breaking even, making a couple bucks pocket money and stuff like that. But then when you find out that you know your last four or five DVDs haven't turned a profit, you're like fuck, you know, and it ain't you know that. I've toned down anything either, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's like me, man. I don't think I'm going to make any money off this documentary, but I thought it needed to be done. It's American history. It's horror history. It's Tennessee history, and I thought it needed to be, you know, documented. And that's why I did it. That's really why I did it. And I'm only out about $500, so, you know.
That's not bad. Did I ever send you a copy of Unconventional?
No.
I'll have to send you a copy of that. Then after you watch it, tell me what you think it was, what it cost to make that. Then I'll knock your socks off.
Oh, right. Cool.
Yeah. Email me your address when you get a chance. I don't know what I did with the package. Maybe I keep it. I don't know. Well, email it to me anyway. I'm as organized as a chimp on fucking Quaaludes here. But
yeah. Well, I mean, are you guys going to edit this interview at all?
No.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm actually calmed down now. I was like having an anxiety attack before.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I'm enjoying it though. It's great talking to you guys. I mean, like I said, I'm a huge fan of everything you guys do.
If people wanted to get this off you, where do they go to?
Man, I'm not gonna give the actual website. They need to go to YouTube and look up Land of the Deadites, DEADITES, and then there'll be a link underneath that trailer. There's a Land of the Deadites trailer up, and that's where the you know, and it's like $2 a copy, $6 with shipping and handling, and you're really better off buying more than one copy. And I'm not saying that to try to sell more. It's just
you're basically giving away at that price.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I barely get a cut out of that, Pete. I get maybe like a 20-cent royalty type check every.
We got to talk about marketing, my friend. Like I could, I don't know. I should. Who owns the rights to this? You?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's. I mean, me and my girlfriend. I guess. I mean, it. I haven't really looked into the copyright stuff very much on it, but I mean, because a lot of the footage was sent in and people signed consent forms to be in the film, and I just edited their footage. But I mean, we filmed certain footage too. I mean, it's just like a big collage of footage, really.
You know what I'll do? I'll send a copy of my partner, because we got this, you know, little company we got going on, this kick-ass releasing thing. I'll send it to him and see what he thinks. Maybe we can, you know, not that anybody's going to get rich by any stretch of the imagination, but who knows? There might be some interest in it.
Oh, that'd be great, man, if I could get distribution. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we had one thing we sunk a bunch of money into, and, it, you know, it didn't do what we wanted it to do, but then, you know, a couple other smaller things, so we're just keeping it afloat. We got a couple of things on tap, so.
Okay.
Let's see. So before we end this, any parting words? If you want to stay on when Ken's on, you're welcome to stay on.
Man, that'd be great. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah, that'd be great. No, I mean, I guess I'd just like to thank my ex-girlfriend Jenny Allen and Greg Lamberson, Lloyd Kaufman, Joe Bob Briggs.
Break time. Stretch your legs. Go to the concession stand. We'll be right back.
The Deadites is an Evil Dead documentary that focuses on the impact the Evil Dead movies have made on pop culture. This documentary includes interviews with Lloyd Kaufman, Greg Lamberson, Jason Mewes, Tony Timpone, and is narrated by Joe Bob Briggs. Get your copy of Land of the Deadites today for only $2 by going to jackaloperadio.com and clicking on the Land of the Deadites banner on the front page. If you're an Evil Dead fan, this is for you.
If you want something good, why don't you listen to us, More Horror Than Horror, every Saturday.
Saturday nights at 8. We talk already about shit that's important, dumbass.
At jackaloperadio.com, or you can also listen to us on iTunes, you fucking dumb bastard.
You dumb fuck of corn. Fucksicle.
Give us a listen. Well, if you're pissed off, well, guess what? We're fucking pissed off, too. And we're not going to take it anymore. We're fighting back, and you can fight back by listening to our show,
Occupy!
More Horror Than Horror, every Saturday night on jackaloperadio.com at 8 o'clock Central.
Be there, and we'll put a foot in your ass.
Yeah, we even say shit sometimes that makes the Pope cry. Download us on iTunes. Take us to work. Annoy those people around you.
Attention all personnel. You got it. You got it. You found the most listened to radio station. Jackalope Radio.
The man, the myth, the website, cinemawasteland.com, Ken.
I like the man, the myth, the dessert topping better.
I don't know. Well, you know, we do have to address something that we've lost three more legends in the last 2 weeks, and last night it was Dick Clark, who
you know, it was kind of hard to watch him after his stroke on TV, but I had to admire his courage for getting up there.
Yeah, and you know, God, you know, so many accomplishments. You know, not only American Bandstand, where he basically did a lot of things, including breaking the color barrier, you know, bringing on, you know, the black acts and things like that, and basically exposing mainstream America to rock and roll that it wasn't a bad thing anymore, you know? So, and then, you know, the list of performers that he had on, you know, reads like a who's who of, you know, the Rock Hall of Fame. And also, you know, he was a producer. He did a few movies. We executive producer on Remo Williams. Remember that movie Night Shadows?
That's Better Left Being Unsaid.
What, that one? Okay, with Night Shadows, with Rigger.
Remo Williams.
Wings Howers, yeah. Wings Hauser and Bo Hopkins, Night Shadows. Yeah. And our favorite movie, The Dark, he was the producer on that.
Yeah, Dick Clark was the producer on that one.
Yeah, and he was also starring and produced in The Killers 3. And that was all in 68, Killers 3, Savage 7, Psych Out. So he's got his feet firmly planted in the grindhouse.
Yeah, and, absolutely. You know, another guy, was like, I actually invited him, but he's never come. It's like, I would love to have Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Too, as a guest at Wasteland. Thus far, no, but invited, yeah.
It's a shame. Then also Jonathan Frid. Original Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows died in...
Why, you know, I think he died is because he saw the trailer for Tim Burton's remake.
Yeah, it's possible. But he's in Tim Burton's remake cameo or something.
Yeah, I know. And then he watched the finished film and there he went.
Dude, that's the bad part. We almost had him to come on for a couple of the shows on the network, and it was almost all, but we all had everything pretty much ready to go, and then this happened. It was like, dude, this is the second time that's happened to me in like... a couple of months. I think I better quit trying to book older people on because they always have a bad time.
Yeah, but when they work out, it's like the people we find for Wasteland, man. When they get there, some of them don't even know they have fans, so it's like a last hurrah. So I always think it's very cool. And people who know they have fans, sometimes it has been a last hurrah, which is also very cool.
Yeah. And also, from World of Professional Wrestling, Chief J. Strongbow died April 3rd.
Chief J.
Yeah, the old chief, who in reality wasn't really an Indian. He was an Italian guy from Paterson, New Jersey, named Joe Scarpa. But he did the Indian gimmick for many years until he just wound up in the WWF then, forever.
Yeah, but he did that gimmick till he... He was Chief J when he went, just like, you know, Wahoo McDaniel.
And then he had
obviously his... not an Indian.
No, actually, Wahoo was.
He was.
Wahoo was.
I know. He was. Yeah. That's what I said. Obviously not an Indian. Oh, but what he was.
But then Chief brought in his brother, Billy White Wolf, who lined up to be that Iraqi guy, Sheikh Adnan LKC, down the road. And, you know, I got a funny fucking story. I don't even know if I told you this story. They used to have the live feeds from the Garden every once a month when cable first came out around the New York area. I guess just something to bait us into watching it for, you know, the build-up. They eventually have to buy shit, but it was included as part of the package. And the chief, after he stopped wrestling, was like one of the guys in the back, the road agents and stuff. So they had the Sergeant Slaughter, Iron Sheik, whatever the fuck, the boot match or something like that. And they're doing an interview in the back, and you're never going to get a hold of this footage, but you can tell it wasn't staged. Slaughter comes charging through, swinging the boot, and Strongbow's screaming. I'm going, get that motherfucker off! What are you, fucking crazy? You fucking jerk off! He's cursing his fucking balls off and shit. And then they're pulling Slaughter back, and Slaughter just snarls at the Sheik, I'm going to kill your fucking ass next time! And I'm thinking, all right, that was a fucking shoot.
Yeah, something happened in the bar before the taping.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny because I met the chief's brother up there when I was had my place up in Rockaway, because he had this auto graveyard, but he used to supply movie cars, you know, like the old vintage cars to the movies and shit. He kept them running. Yeah. And I missed meeting the chief two or three times because he was up there, but he was in poor health, and then we're going back into the 80s. He wasn't in good health then. So they had said he had fallen last year. So basically they kept him on life support for a bunch of months, which sucks and relates to what I had been bitching about last week or 2 weeks before about this fucking health care and shit, how much it sucks. So.
Well, yeah, they probably just kept him alive until his money ran out.
Insurance ran out. Yeah.
That's the way it worked.
Yeah. Yeah, but
we have the best health care money can buy if you wait for it.
Yeah, right. Oh, well. Well,
hey, I'm glad I pay over $800 a month for two lousy people to have it, because, you know, last year I tore my left bicep off my arm. Working a side job at your house.
Yeah. You keep rubbing that in.
Yeah, it kind of sucked, though, man. Either it proves I'm breaking down and getting old is what it proves.
Oh, we're all getting old.
Nothing like
that. I don't know how old Shane is down there, but, you know.
I'm 33.
33. You're a youngster.
Oh, I mean, I'm already starting to feel the high blood pressure, all that good shit.
Oh, brother, I didn't have an ache of pain or a gray hair till I hit my 40s. So. Then shit ain't happened until I tore my fucking bicep off my arm.
Ah,
that kind of sucked. Mm. Really did.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, then I'm over it. They put it back on, and at least they, you know.
Cured your tendonitis, though.
Yeah, I cured my tendonitis. Yeah.
See, there's a fucking bright spot if you look for it.
That's right. There's always a wet spot if you turn the napkin over.
Yeah. God. Well, I guess we should tell people that we're going to be at Motor City Nightmares next Saturday.
Saturday? Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll be there. Yeah, Friday 27th, April 27th, 8th, and 9th, yeah. It's at the Novi Sheraton.
Yeah, I've never been to Michigan, so it's going to be interesting for me.
I love Michigan, you know. Man. It's kind of like you moved to Cleveland, and you're from you know, Jersey, where I've been to. So, wow, let's see. More maple trees and more black bears. That's it. There's no difference from where you are right now, except less, just as many deer, but more bears.
Oh, bears?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck, I haven't seen bears up here yet. I've seen everything else.
God. All right, lots of bears in Michigan.
Maybe I could bring a couple home, keep them in my backyard.
Yeah. I don't think you... Nah, that's all right. They'll just go off and... You live close to a little shopping strip there, though. You'll find them in the garbage every day.
Yeah, take them shopping.
Yeah.
Take them shopping, then pick out something for themselves.
That's where you... The bears in Michigan, you always find them in the garbage.
Yeah, no. Well, aside from bears in Michigan, who's... Oh, yes, Sid Haig's going to be at the show, I think.
Oh, yeah, we do have some old friends there. Sid Haig is there next week at Motor City. There's Sid Haig. PJ Souls was on the list.
Yeah.
He's just at Wasteland. Our old friend Kyra is going to be there.
Kyra's going to be there.
Yeah. We got some old, you know, convention stalwarts like Doug Bradley and Kane Hodder, Ken Foray, Tony Todd.
In other words, we fucking know everybody who's going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, it's not much of a guest list for you and me. It's just like old home week.
Yeah.
I see Bob Kurtzman. You watch that? You ever seen that show on Sci-Fi, Monster Man? Cleve Hall's been doing this for years.
Oh, yeah, right.
They made a show about him. He's supposed to be there, him and Bob Kurtzman. Like, you know, there's a couple
did of I see Eileen
guys
Dietz
that
up been
there around
too?
For 30 years, huh?
Eileen Dietz is going to be there, too.
Eileen Dietz, is she?
Okay. I think so.
Eileen, I don't know. We both know Eileen, too.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's old home week.
Yeah.
No surprises, but a firm, friendly hug.
Yes, and pizza late at night. Somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a great pizza place down the road, man. With a big wood-fired oven.
You know, you're jaded when you're not looking forward to seeing any of the guests. You're just looking forward to finding new food.
Yeah, pizza in a wood-fired oven. Well, I mean, if we didn't know all the guests, it might be cool, but
yeah,
we'll just go say hi and see who wants to go eat pizza.
Yeah.
Pile a van load of them and we'll go eat pizza.
That's how jaded we've become.
That'll be cool.
I'm trying to get Shane to come up the wasteland.
When's the next Wasteland?
October.
When's the next Wasteland? October 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2012, at the Holiday Inn on Royal Road in Strongsville, Ohio. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was good.
Sound like I say that a lot. See, Michelle Bauer, Red Brown, Burt Gordon, James Hampton, Howard Meyer, Sharon Mitchell, Fred
Diane Thorne,
Tom Sullivan, Diane Thorne, and we just added low-budget director Don Farmer.
Oh, and Don Farmer? Was it, didn't somebody urge you to get Don Farmer?
I think it was Lewis.
Yeah.
From the kid from Massacre Video. Said, have Don Farmer. I'm like, man. I just saw Don in Nashville. I was at a Nashville horror tattoo show, and Don lives there, and walked up and grabbed a flyer and said, I'm going to be here. And I looked at him really oddly. I went, Don? I can't. Haven't talked to you in, 20 years.
At Full Moon? Full Moon?
Yeah, at the tattoo show.
Yeah, yeah, I have to give a shout-out to them, too. You know, we filmed some of our footage for the doc at Full Moon Tattoo and Horror.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. I was there. I hate those convention center shows, man.
Yeah, that's the closest thing we've got to a wasteland, probably. You know,
yeah, but I want to yell at Ben. Dude, no convention center shows. My back hurts. I didn't have a good time with them anime kids. It was not.
Oh, yeah, I heard they mixed it with an anime show this year. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good. The whole complex sort of wanted to kind of make me go away Saturday morning because I couldn't stand anime kids after a day of them. So it wound up not being that big of a deal. But yeah, let's just say I couldn't do one more day of those kids.
When you say convention center, what's the difference between that and Wasteland?
Well, same thing with, it's at a hotel. Like, Ben always had his show at a hotel, the Full Moon show. And when they moved to a convention center, it just kind of lost its intimacy. Like, you know, everybody walked past me and went, it's big and it's hollow and it's sterile. Yeah. I kind of like, you know, when you wanted to get away, it was a show that was slow enough to where you could walk out and mingle with the tattoo artists and the fans, and you're down in Nashville, so I don't smoke cigarettes anymore, but I would just walk outside for a breath of fresh air and mingle with the smokers, because all you damn Southerners still smoke, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd just go out and hang out, and it was like I've been going there for years, so I was like, and then he moved it to the big convention center. It was like, it's downtown, it has no soul, it lost. It's like a big, hollow, cavernous box, and I don't like it. And I call it the curse of the convention center.
Yeah, back when we went, it was still in the hotel.
Yeah,
airport hotel.
Exactly. So you know what I'm talking about. Well, they moved it downtown to convention center, so I'm just pleading with Ben. Please, please, I had my worst show. Don't put it there again. The curse of the convention center, brother. The curse of the convention center. It sucks the soul out of it. I hope he did okay and paid his bills, but, man, those convention centers seem to be like a bottomless money pit. on my end, I've looked into it. We have our own convention centers here in Cleveland, and it's like, ew, I don't want that. You keep raising the rate.
It's all about money, man.
It's for everybody. Yeah, I agree. But please, go to a hotel so I don't have to. I want to go down and see my Nashville fans and customers. But I can't go back to that convention center.
Honestly, I'm definitely going to have to make it out to a wasteland, man. I've got a buddy that runs a USA Up All Night website, and I've tried to get him to go with me. But,
well, it's different. I definitely... you got to be here. I mean,
it's
you
like
don't experience, you can't really describe it, and then once you're here, you can't really describe it. So it's sort of an odd situation.
I've seen the YouTube footage of Asian whores crushing cans. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, we need a better quality. I wish we just had a prettier Asian whore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, or a different one. Or I keep trying to make her, teach her a new trick. But she, I don't know, she, what a one-trick pony, eh?
I want her to shoot fire.
I really would like to just melt her down into glue at this point. Then I could paste up old Farrah Fawcett posters with her and be more amused. I mean, that's just, you know, you just want to go and, like, not go, why are you still watching this? This is old. I'd rather watch train wreck footage.
Yeah, it's like really hard to explain to someone who's never been there. To me, it has a lot of the old, you know, early Chiller Theater ambiance, where, you know, it was an up all night situation, which it still is at Wasteland, you know, and then, you know, our film program runs well into the, you know, early hours.
Oh, so it usually ends about 2 o'clock in the morning or so, and then I drift off at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there's still people out hanging out. Yeah. Parts. But it is odd. It's an all night. It's a big 3-day B movie kind of party kind of thing. I mean, it's hard to describe though. I really can't describe it. I like the people who bitch that it sucks. Although they've never, you know, when anyone who's ever said that they hate a wasteland, it sucks. This that they've never been here. So
yeah, amazing. Like,
you know, they all
Your
have
show
internet
sucks,
balls,
right?
But they can't. You know, they all have internet balls, but they don't have $20.
It's well, you know, that's the thing. I've never heard a bad thing about Wasteland.
Well, that's
it's
the thing is, I don't, you know, I don't, I, the show speaks for itself. I don't, you know, I don't know how to, I don't know what the fuck to say about it. It's just, you know, I put a lot of time, a lot of effort into it, and then it is what it is. And I hate to use that expression, but it speaks for itself. The people who come have a great time, and the people who bitch about it have never been there. It's like, how do you bitch if you've never been there? I love that. That is funny to me. I mean, so it seems to be like 90% positive and 10% of the people know they should just keep their mouth shut. Like, I don't want to admit what happened, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. It's like they woke up in the morning in someone else's room wearing the wrong underwear. So, you know, what we like to say is what happens at Cinema Wasteland stays at Cinema Wasteland unless you find yourself on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to describe it. It is what the fuck it is, man. And it is definitely family. We do not, it's like a weird hippie movement moved into this generation, all wrapped around severed heads and chainsaws.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful
mantra.
With porn queens on top. With a porn queen cherry on top.
And we have the best porn queens.
Yeah, well, at least people know our porn queens.
Yeah.
Cinema Wasteland, they know our porn queens. I was talking to Dave, poor Dave. If you're in the live in the Kansas City area, go to what's Dave's show?
Contamination.
Contamination.
That's in June. I think it's the June 27th weekend.
Yeah. Poor guy Dave. He wants to run. He wants to be a lot of things. It's more like a pop culture horror. Oh man, here's a man with broad ambitions. But look up Contamination, and if you're in that. He says he gets a little grief for having adult stars at his show, and I kind of looked at him and went, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Because he said, do you get any grief at your show? I'm like, no, I get people who want to come meet them, but I live in Cleveland, you know? here in, like in Kansas City or St. Louis or something. And
you issue it, like,
I get a little grief over this. I'm like, I didn't even know how to answer that. Like, duh, maybe you should move to Cleveland.
Yeah.
But then you can't. Well, then, yeah, you can run your show. You just, you know, I guess we'll split the porn queens.
Why not?
I don't know.
Cracking me up.
They want to do Wasteland. They clamor to do Wasteland.
Porn queens?
Yeah.
Like, except for poor Vanessa. She don't know what she missed out on.
I know. Well, you know, they say you can lead a horse to water, but, you know.
Yeah, every once in a while you lose one. People don't come for different reasons.
Well, you know what it is? She'll talk to Sika. She'll talk to Ginger, because they all talk.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, she just had her, you know, she had her dog thing, but...
Yeah, I mean, she could bring the fucking dogs.
Yeah, she didn't disappoint too many people. Just every Black Wasteland fan we have.
Yeah.
I think the only people not on the internet are Black Wasteland fans.
That's pretty funny.
You guys didn't see it? She canceled out 6 weeks before the show. If you ask me, that's plenty of time.
Oh. We are getting Black Wasteland fans, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have
Wasteland fans.
We have everybody.
They know no color. They know no nationality. They are just...
No, but you're right, brother. We don't. Wasteland is Wasteland. That's why I say Wasteland is family, man. We have a great time. Plus, Wasteland isn't Cleveland. I just noticed that it is true. You ever notice the whole horror circuit genre? I've been up and down the East Coast and all through the Midwest, and even on the left coast in the, you know, before it dried up in the 90s. And sometime this summer I'll be doing this 25 years, but I've noticed, like, horror conventions and the whole horror scene, white dudes. It's all white dudes.
Yeah, but there's we get a mix. A couple other places I've been to, you know.
Well, that's what I'm proud of, and that's what we were just saying. The whole horror scene seems to be, like, you know, 99.9993% white dudes. So I'm kind of glad we get, you know, we get all kinds of people. We have, like, the Cinema Wasteland gay convention. Wasteland is a rainbow.
Oh yeah. Well, guys, I just got the 2-minute warning from our fearless producer, Todd. So, just to clarify, I will be at the Cinema Wasteland table at Motor City Nightmares next Saturday, April 26th, 27th, 28th, I believe.
27th, 28th, and 29th.
Stop by and show some love. And buy some of Ken's stuff.
Yeah, especially by myself. Especially if you want a poster. Man, I got some cool posters.
Shane, thanks for being on, and
hey, thank you guys.
We'll be in touch, and we'll you know, check out this documentary. He gave you an information, you know, where to find it. And until next week, I don't know what we're going to be doing, but stay sick. Take care now.